Blog Talk Radio.
I want to bring to our attention achievement publication that has been produced and is produced for our community, mainly for our community, but it will serve anybody who wants some help from the material that are put into this publication. And the book is called The Language of Revelation, Lugatutenzin, the language of transliteration. And it is by a brother that I have known to be dedicated and devoted to the study of Quranic Arabic and the teaching of that subject to our students and to grown-ups as well. And that is Brother Sadiq Jahad. I think most of us know him here. Brother Sadiq Jahad, will you please stand and face the audience? So this is Brother Sadiq Jahad. So I highly recommend this book for you all who are studying, grown-ups, but also for our youngsters who are studying in the separate organized Quranic studies classes, and who are also studying in the school system, our school system, Claire Muhammad School System, Claire Muhammad Schools, and like the one in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., Chicago, and many places. I highly recommend this book, The Language of Revelation. It's Quranic, Arabic, with lessons, studies to improve your ability to read the Quran and get more understanding and to qualify yourself, inshallah, to be a teacher one day. Because out of you, from you who are interested in Quranic Arabic, we are going to get our next generation of teachers and imams and leaders, you know. So Allah be with you all and bless you to benefit from these wonderful projects and publications that our community is producing. This is one. We have others. We have others that I have seen, and grateful to Allah for students and scholars like our brother Sadiq Jahad. Congratulations, my brother.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This is Imam Sadiq Jahad. You can secure the book by going to our website, www.sadiqjihad.com. That's SIDDEQ Jihad, JIHAD.com. Or you can send a postal money order or any type of money order to Post Office Box 401165. Redford, R-E-D-F-O-R-D, Michigan, 48240. My email address is Sadiq, that's SIDDEQ, at MSN.com. And the phone number where we can be reached is 313-532-5246. I thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, that is the praises to Allah, the praises to Allah, the guiding, the evolver, cherisher, and sustainer of all the worlds and all of the systems of knowledge. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lahu, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa alihi wa sabbihi ajma'in. Amma Bad. We thank Allah for bringing us again to the Jumu'ah, the congregational salat that is being performed throughout the world. And I'm sure you are part of the group that is thankful to Allah for having guided us to the understanding of the way that He has created us, and that is to be in submission to His will. Praise be to Allah. So I begin the khutbah by reciting to you Alhamdulillahi alladhi lahu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard wa lahu alhamdu fil aqirati wa huwa al-hakimul khabir ya'lamu ma yaliju fil ardi wa ma yakhruju minha wa ma yanzilu min as-sama'i wa ma ya'ruju fiha wa huwa ar-rahimul ghafur wa qala alladhina kafaru la tahtina sa'atu pardon me kul bala wa rabbi la tahtiyannakum alimul ghaibi la ya'zubu anhu mithqala dharratin fi samawati wala fil ardi wala asgharu min dhalika wala akbaru illa fi kitabin mubin. Praise be to Allah, translated. To whom belongs all things in the heavens and on earth, to him be the praise in the hereafter. And he is full of wisdom, acquainted with all things. He knows all that goes into the earth and all that comes out thereof, all that comes down from the sky and all that ascends thereto. And he is the most merciful, the oft-forgiving. The unbelievers say, never to us will come the hour. Say nay, but most surely by my Lord it will come upon you, by him who knows the unseen and from whom is not hidden the least little atom in the heavens or on earth, nor is there anything less than that or greater, but is in a clear, perpetual decree or book. لِيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَأَمِلُوا صَالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ. That is, that he may reward those who believe and work deeds of righteousness, for such is forgiveness and a sustenance most generous. Praise be to Allah. I want to focus your attention on the phrase "mithqala dharratin," and I have entitled this particular khutbah "Atoms and Atoms Work for God or Work for Allah." Now, if you're listening carefully, I said atoms, and I'm saying A-T-O-M-S, and I'm also saying A-D-A-M-S, which is what we are. We are atoms. We are descended from Adam. We are the children of Adam. Praise be to Allah. So this particular phrase, mithqala dharratin, if you know something about Arabic grammar, you know that mithqala is a scale. It's a scale. And back in the days when the prophet was around, I don't believe he knew, or the people that were around him knew, that we have the ability to weigh things that we can't even see. And if you know anything about the atom, you know that just in one speck of dust, there's many, 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 many atoms, you know? And so as human beings grow and progress, they come to know that there are things smaller than atoms. There are things so small that we as human beings cannot even conceive of the smallness of things. They call it what, the macrocosm and the macrocosm, right? And so when you think of what Allah is saying to us in the Quran about mithqala dharratin, he says, now the atom's weight of good, you will see it, and the atom's weight of bad, you will see it. So the atom that Allah is talking about, anything that you can imagine that you did or did not do, it is weighed on a scale. So if you know anything about science, you know that they have what they call periodic tables, right? And they say that there's 109 elements that they know of, 92 just exist in the environment naturally, and then 17 others they put them in laboratories and reactors and whatnot to come up with new elements. But these elements are very, very, very beautiful for you to really reflect upon, from the sense that Allah has clocked all of these atoms in such a way where they don't bounce into each other and cause any problems, and he has it set in such a way that we as human beings are able to harness the knowledge and get great value out of it. You know, Allah has the H2O. We know what that is, right? That's water, right? And we know that it's consisting of two hydrogen atoms. I don't want to give you a science class too deep here. And one oxygen atom, or molecule, if you will. And so life stems from water. And so all of the water that we have on this earth, that's up in the sky, that's in the toilet stool, if you will, it was here from the beginning. And the way the scientists have known is that the heat of the atmosphere, the Big Bang, if you will, and all of that, caused things to be so hot that created this water. So human beings cannot create water. We cannot create the elements. They're already here for our use, for our disposal. Praise be to Allah. So you have what we call the carbon atom. And this carbon atom has 6 neutrons, 6 protons, and 6 electrons. And carbon is the source of life. You can't live if you don't have carbon. You heard of carbon 14, where they can distinguish how old something is from knowing how much deterioration of the carbon had occurred and so on. It's a beautiful thing to reflect upon all of the scientific wonders that Allah has set forth for us to get knowledge of. Praise be to Allah. So they have assigned atomic weight to different atoms. Now they can weigh things, mind you, that we can't even see. That is something that Allah has bestowed upon this human family. And so, you know, you have what we call the sulfur atom, right? And you know that when someone breaks wind, if you will, the smell has a way of traveling long distances, doesn't it? You know, we say it in the language, he even stunk up the joint. Or his air rises, the stink goes up to heaven, you know. So why is it that sulfur and the skunk smell travel so far? Why? Any scientist knows that the reason why is because the atoms in the sulfur atom are loosely together, so they spread real quickly, where the contrast would be gold and iron. The atoms are tightly packed together. That's why they have longevity. They're hard and solid, you know. So here we have solids, liquids, and gases. Gases are very, very light. In fact, we know that the main gases that we have that's essential for the whole universe is hydrogen and helium. And that's what is going on in the sun as we speak, right? Because of the fact that Allah has designed this thing in such a way where he knows the right balance and the right mixture of everything that we need. And he tells us, look out into my creation. Do you see any flaws in it? There's no flaws in what Allah has created. It's very important for us to remember that. So I said to you that atoms work for God, A-T-O-M-S, work for God. We know that has been happening ever since the alleged Big Bang. The Quran talks about how it was a big smoke, and then it blew up and it started, just creation just started unfolding and has been unfolding ever since. So if atoms work for God, then we as Adam, the children of Adam, we should work for God too. It is a given that you and I should work for God, inshallah. So Allah reveals, say, call upon other gods who you fancy besides Allah. They have no power, rule, or control, not the weight of an atom, it's called a dharatin, again, in the heavens or on earth. No sort of share have they therein, nor is any of them a helper to Allah. Praise be to Allah. So here Allah is telling you and I that you might think you have powers and you can take the nucleuses and bust the nucleus up of these atoms and cause atomic bombs and blow up Hiroshima and blew up Nagasaki and all of that. Allah, he permitted that. But Allah foreknew that this Homo sapien, this Adam that's gone deviant, he many times take what Allah has given and uses it to destroy and harm people. So I would encourage you, as I encourage myself, learn more about chemistry. It's so beautiful. And we as Muslims, if we have the right mind and we are really situated on wanting to increase our taqwa, then Allah will give us more understanding of this vast chemical world that we live in. Praise be to Allah. So let's talk a little bit more. I think this is very important. This applies to the Adam as well as to the ADAM also. We have cooperation amongst atoms, ATOMS. They have what they call ionic bonds. Ionic bonds. What is an ionic bond? Ionic bond is how these atoms swap electrons. I give you one, and you give me one. This is what atoms do, naturally. So shouldn't the ADAM swap and share stuff? This is a message for us just from the atom itself, that we should share what we got. Then we have what we call covalent bonding, which is the actual sharing of electrons. The ionic bond is to swap. I'll take that one and you take that one, you see. And then we have what we call the metallic bond. And you hear metallic, so you're talking about metal, right? So metal is a large number of atoms coming together to produce iron, copper, zinc, aluminum, all these wonderful metals that people have fought over. People have died over, you know. They had the situation in Zimbabwe where Cecil Rhodes, who was an Englishman, he went over there and snatched up all the gold and diamonds and named the place Rhodesia after him, you see, because of these precious metals. So shouldn't these precious metals and all this resource that we have be shared with the whole humanity? For sure. For sure. Praise be to Allah. So we're talking about things that are real small. We talk about the atom, but scientists have discovered now they've got things what they call quarks. They're smaller than the atom that makes up the protons and the neutrons in the atom. And I was just reading the other day, it says that they're so small, it's like having 18 zeros after the decimal point. Listen, 18 zeros and then a one. That's just how small this quark is. Real small stuff. So Allah has given you and I the foreknowledge. Human being, you're going to be able to weigh some atoms as time goes on. That's why I use mithqala. Mithqala means the weight of something, a scale, something that you can use to weigh things. Mithqalun, that's what it means, the weight of an atom. So Allah has given you and I the ability to weigh stuff that's so small we can't even conceive of it. And then we have things that are so big that we can't even conceive of it. You know, they say they got winds on Saturn that go 1,000 miles an hour. Could you imagine that? 1,000 miles an hour, a wind? Could we survive that? 1,000 miles an hour. So really, the essence of the message I'm trying to convey to you, that Allah has sovereignty and power and control over every ATOM and every ADAM, every atom. And that's very, very essential for you to appreciate, to increase your taqwa, to know that Allah is controlling everything. He's controlling our thoughts. He controls everything. Years ago, I had did a khutbah on this same subject, Adam's work for God. And I had to do a khutbah the following week. So I was in my car driving. I said, well, what am I going to talk about today? I looked over to the left. No, it was to the right. And I saw a building that said, Adam's Wholesale. I said, okay, Allah, I'm going to do Adam again. So I'm just suggesting to your mind that Allah is controlling our thoughts and giving us messages all of the time. Wallahi, that actually happened in Berkeley, Michigan. So I always tell people things like that when it happens. I don't ever have to get any more signs from Allah. That's enough right there. If I can give you more, I'm sure you can give me some of your signs or some of the things that Allah has shown you that even though he is a non-physical reality, he has connection with all these physical things that exist in the universe. And you and I, what are we? Just a bunch of atoms and gases, right? Argon gas, oxygen, all of that. That's all we are from the material side. But there's a side of us that is non-physical, and that is the nefs, that is the soul. So how could we not believe in a life after death? When we know that this physical stuff is just a way of depositing this nef in it for a particular time or period of time, and then we leave it and we dwell with Allah Khalidin Atiha forever in the garden. Praise be to Allah. So I open up with that particular ayah where I mentioned to you that it said that praise be to Allah, to whom are all things in the heavens and on earth, to him is the praise in the hereafter. He didn't say anything about the right here, the life of this world. He's talking about when you're dead and gone, the praise is going to be to him even when you leave here. So he's addressing the unbelievers who don't believe there's a life after this one. How can you or I believe that this whole universe and all of this that we know of just came haphazard without a controller and a musawir, a fashioner? And we know one of the attributes of Allah is al-fatir. That is the one who originates things from nothing. So nothing was here and Allah was here and everything else came after that. And that's a concept and a reality that is hard for us to just put our hands on. You know, he created time. He made time. Time didn't exist before he was here. He has no birth date. He has no birth record, you know, these kinds of things. So when you reflect upon the vastness of what Allah has created and the fact that we live in an expanding universe, and Allah told us that in the Quran over 1,400 years ago, and the Hubble telescopes and all that found out, we're looking at these stars and we see them moving. We see them moving, you know. So they concluded, we live in an expanding universe. But Allah told us this in the Quran over 1,400 years ago. Praise be to Allah. So make dua. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka antal wahhab. Allah, cause not our hearts to swerve or deviate after you've guided us aright. But bestow upon us mercy from your presence, for surely you are the grandest of the givers. Allahumma nasta'inuka wa nastaghfiruka wa nu'minu bika wa natawakkalu alayka wa nufni alayka al-khayr. O Allah, we ask for your help, we ask for your forgiveness. We believe in you, Allah, and we trust in you, and we extol and exalt you in the best manner. We are thankful to you, Allah, and we are not ungrateful. Praise be to Allah. So the word that I mentioned that they translate as Adam is Dara, a Dharan, right? So when I opted to do this khutbah, I said, I'm going to look at all of the ayahs that I have time to look at that is stemming, or that say has this word Dara in some form or fashion, you know. And some of the ayahs that I recited, I got more here, I don't have time to give them all to you. But the verb Dara and the nouns that, you know, is with it appears in the Quran how many times? 38 times, I can tell you that, right? Because I counted them last night. So why am I showing you this book? Because you should be a student of the Quran. You should have a concordance of the Quran where you can be a word tracker. That's what I do. That's what people that write books do. In fact, it's very interesting to note that the book that I was reading the other day, The Miracle of the Atom by Harun Yahya. A lot of what I'm talking to you about is in this book, but a lot of what I've read over the years. Now, I was scared to take chemistry when I was in school, you know. But since I got out of school, I'm fascinated by chemistry and all of the different things that we have. Hydrogen peroxide has great juices, you know. Hydrogen chloride, all of these things that Allah has given us in the pharmaceutical industry, without the chemistry and the consistency of what Allah has created, you wouldn't be able to get no medicine from the pharmacy, you see. So this is very, very important knowledge for us to grasp. Praise be to Allah. The Miracle of the Atom, I don't know if it's available regularly or, let's say, properly now. This old book, I've had it for a good while. But you should be a student of what Allah has made, right? All of us should be students about what he has made. I'm a private investigator, so I'm not a doctor or anything like that. I go out and get the facts. That's what I do for a living. But we should also be interested in science, because Allah, he talks about science in the Quran. Am I not right? We know the history about Jacques Cousteau. They said that Jacques Cousteau, he wasn't a believer in Islam, but he knew his friend Maurice Bacall told him that the Quran says that there's a line in the water where it separates the sweet water from the salt water, right? It was in the Quran. And we know that Jacques Cousteau, he found it. At least that's the report, you know, that he found this line. Now, I believe it's near the Mediterranean and the Indian Ocean or something like that. So here Allah has set up this balance in such a way where you got water that has a tendency to mix with one another. But Allah said, no, you don't mix, you stay right here. So that my subjects, my atoms that I have created, can drink fresh water so they won't have to drink all that salt water. Anybody drinking any salt water, you can't handle it. You try to swim in the ocean and swallow some of that salt water, oh, you can't deal with it. Fish, saltwater fish, they can handle it, right? He got them designed to handle the salt water, the salmon and all of that, you know? So it's such a great balance that Allah has established, and we should be, I believe, more appreciative of it. And he tells us over and over again in the Quran that he has وَسَمَاءَ وَفَأَهَا وَوَدَعَ الْمِيزَانِ and the sky has he raised high and gave it a mizan, a balance. So when he said the sky, he's talking about the whole universe that he created, he got it in a balance. And so when you saw that asteroid that hit down a few weeks ago, Allah knew it was going to hit down. They flying around all of the time, right? But Allah is our Maulana. He's our protector. So he don't let too many big chunks get down the air and it causes problems, you know? Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. I ain't got much time. I see that. Okay. So the message I'm trying to convey to you is that every small thing that you can think of and every big thing that you can think of, it works for God. And nothing happens without God's permission or his will. That's very, very, very essential for you and I to keep in our consciousness. And as we increase our taqwa, our reverence for him, we should also increase our knowledge of what he has created so that we can do better things for all of the children of Adam and make it smooth and easy and comfortable. So Allah told us that we have the power to have dominion over the heavens and the earth. وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمْ He said he has rendered everything in the creation for our service. Everything. And in closing, I'll just go to the ayah and close. There's so much that we can say. In fact, this is part one. Inshallah, next time I speak, I'll talk some more about this subject. Inshallah. And Allah caused my finger to open up to the ayah that I'm looking for just now. Praise be to Allah. And the ayah is, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا And he taught Adam, you and me, Muhammad, taught us what? Not the names of things, but the essence and the nature of things. He didn't say, oh, Adam, that's a dog over there, that's a cat over there. No, he looked at the way the creature acted, and then he gave it a name. He gave it a name, you know? So within Adam is the ability to understand the whole summer way. And if you know anything about Arabic grammar, you know the El Asma'a is related to what? Summer way. So Allah is telling you directly, telling me directly, that within you is the ability to understand the nature of this whole cosmic universe. And you say, wow, we can't live on Saturn for it's 1,000 miles. Our storms that we know of right now, right? But nevertheless, we know that Allah has set in some utility and use for us, for the whole universe, and not for idle sport. He created all of this. So we're talking about the spiritual message, and we're talking about the devotional message, but I also want you to know that I'm conscious of us trying to get ourselves together in some ionic bonding, some bonding and some sharing and some swapping of knowledge so we can get more materially strong. In fact, I'll close with this. A friend of mine, his name was Bilal the Poet, and he went to Akron, Ohio with me one day. And he got up before the people. He said, "This is Ahmed Bilal Kareem talking. I believe that if Muhammad was here today, he would have international TV network, right? Where's ours? We got the money to do it. We can have our own stations, educational stations, da'wah for the whole world in the click of a button." So when are the Muslims going to really get serious and put all of their numbers together, just like the iron and the metal do, and become strong and powerful? So I close. Rabbana Akmim Lana Nurana Waqfir Lana Innaka Ala Kulli Shayin Qadir. Rabbana Hab Lana Min Azwajina Wa Dhurriyyatina Qurrata Ayunin Waj'alni Lil Muttaqina Imaman. Our Lord, increase and complete our knowledge, and forgive us, for surely you have power over all things. Our Lord, grant unto us mates and offspring that will be the comfort of our eyes, and give us the grace to be leaders in taqwa. Amen.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والتين والزيتون وتور وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين Allahu Akbar. Sami Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
آمين
Allahu Ahad, Allahu Samad, Lam Yalid Wa Lam Yulad, Wa Lam Yakul Lahu Kufuwan Ahad.
I want to bring to our attention achievement, publication that has been produced, and is produced for our community, mainly for our community, but it will serve anybody who wants some help from the material that are put into this publication. And the book is called The Language of Revelation, Lugatul Tanzil, the language of translation. And it is by a brother that I have known to be dedicated and devoted to the study of Quranic Arabic and the teaching of that subject to our students and to grown-ups as well. And that is Brother Sadiq Jahad. I think most of us know of him. Brother Sadiq Jahad, will you please stand and face the audience? So this is Brother Sadiq Jahad. So I highly recommend this book for you all who are studying, grown-ups, but also for our youngsters who are studying in separate organized Quranic studies classes, and who are also studying in the school system, our school system, Claire Muhammad school system, Claire Muhammad schools, and like the one in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., Chicago, and many places. I highly recommend this book, The Language of Revelation. It's Quranic Arabic with lessons, studies to improve your ability to read the Quran and get more understanding and to qualify yourself, inshallah, to be a teacher one day. Because out of you, from you who are interested in Quranic Arabic, we are going to get our next generation of teachers and imams and leaders, you know. So Allah be with you all and bless you to benefit from these wonderful projects and publications that our community is producing. This is one. We have others. We have others that I have seen, and I'm grateful to Allah for students and scholars like our brother Sadiq Jahad. Congratulations, my brother.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This is Imam Sadiq Jahad. You can secure the book by going to our website, www.sadiqjihad.com. That's SIDDEQ jihad.com. Or you can send a postal money order or any type of money order to Post Office Box 401165. Redford, R-E-D-F-O-R-D, Michigan, 48240. My email address is Sadiq, that's SIDDEQ, at MSN.com. And the phone number where we can be reached is 313-532-5246. I thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. So I'd like to extend the warmest of greetings to each and every one of you. I've already eyeballed everybody in here already, but I'm doing it again. As I came in, the Muslim sister here in front, I didn't know if she wanted to give me the greeting of Assalamu Alaikum or not, and I was waiting for her to do it, and she did it. And I'd like to do it to you all, too, if you haven't heard it before from her or others. And the greeting is Assalamu Alaikum, which means the peace of God be upon you. And we also add Wa Rahmatullah and the mercy of God. And we also sometimes add Wa Jannatuhu, and that is, and his paradise when you leave here. It's a very wonderful greeting, and it's spoken from the heart. I remember an Arab proverb, and it was given to me by Prince Charles on a lecture that I heard. And Prince Charles said this: what comes from the lips, it reaches the ears. But what comes from the heart, it reaches the heart. And I hope that we will be heart to heart today. And I hope that you understand that I'm here to give information and not to convert you or anything like that. But I may hit some of the stereotypes about Muslims that exist in the land. Now, the first thing I want to mention to you is the word Allah, as you can see it there. Allah means, if you translate it into English, the one and only deity. A deity is that thing that you, you know, revere very highly and you regard it very, very highly. And it's a contraction of two words. From English class, I know you know what a contraction is. I am is what I have here, and then I'm is the contraction of I am, right? So Allah is a contraction of two words. This is Al right here. This is Ilahun right here. So we put the two words together and we come up with the word Allah. All right? So many of you may not know that there's a lot of Christians amongst the Middle East who call God Allah also. And even in the Arabic Bibles, you'll see the word Allah in the Arabic Bible of the Christians, you see. So it's not a term that's just exclusively for Muslims only. It means the one and only deity, all right? It is the same, one of the verses of the Quran, it is the same whether you call him God or the merciful benefactor. All the excellent, perfect attributes belong to God. So in Hebrew, they have an attribute of God called El Shaddai, which means the Almighty, the All-Powerful. So as a Muslim, some of them are very rigid and say, I don't want to have any way of calling this deity God. That's English. But as a Muslim, when you really understand, you know that Allah is a word that can be used by any person, just like the word Dios, I believe, in one of the other languages. It means deity also. I think it's Latin, if I'm not mistaken. So I just wanted to mention that to you, that Allah means the one and only deity. So we worship the same God that the Christians, the Hindus, and the Buddhists worship. And we recognize it's only one creator. Okay? Is that number two? Yeah. Okay. I don't know if I can move that up a little bit.
Oh. Right up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's good. But down a little bit more. I'm sorry. That's good. That's good. Okay. I put this up here because of the idea of the word Muslim. What is a Muslim? What does it mean? A Muslim means a submitter. And since we're dealing with religion, it means a submitter to the deity, the submitter to God. So when you think of all the things that submit to God, I would like to pose to your mind that we can say that the sun is a Muslim. Why is it a Muslim? Because it obeys God. We look on a chart, or we hear on TV, the sun is going to rise at 6:42 a.m. It's there every day, right? The sun is a big ball of fire that goes 12 miles a second. It moves. Could you imagine that? A big ball of fire that's contained within itself and is controlled by God. So that's why we say the sun is a Muslim. We say a horse is a Muslim in the real technical sense of the term. Why is a horse a Muslim? A horse, he obeys you 100%. You can take a horse and beat him and beat him and beat him, and he'll just run and run and run and pat his breath, and then he just keels over. He gives 100% to the rider. So the horse is a Muslim, not only obeying what God has designed him to do, but also he obeys what you may want him to do, you know? So then we have this creature right here. I always like to give this creature here. You all know this, a camel in English, right? In Arabic, we call him Jamal. And the word Jamal means beautiful. So he looks pretty ugly to us, doesn't he? But we say that this animal is beautiful in the Arabic language. Why? Because of all of what he does. If you're on the desert and you're riding on him and you need some water, his nose is so strong he can sniff out the water miles away, you know. He gives you fur. He gives you milk. You kill him and, you know, make coats out of his fur, you know, camel hair, camel coats, you know. So he's a beautiful animal. Jamal is what we call him in Arabic, or you can say Jamal. And the feminine cow, or pardon me, camel, would be Jamila, a very common name amongst Muslims. So I hope you understand the idea of me telling you that the sun is a Muslim, a horse is a Muslim, all of the creation that God has designed is a Muslim, except Satan. Except Satan, okay? All right, so let me continue. So Islam, the word Islam means peace. It means surrender. Submitting to God, surrendering to God, and as I mentioned, Muslim translated as a submitter to God, and technically speaking, the sun, the moon, the stars, the animals are Muslims. Grammatically, Muslim is an active participle. So what is an active participle? Talk is the verb. Talker is the active participant in talking. So the Muslim is a submitter to God. So when you hear the idea of radical Islamic terrorists, once a person goes and starts killing people unjustly, they're no longer Muslims. So you can't tie in the idea of radical Islamic terrorism with what a Muslim is supposed to be about. A Muslim is supposed to be at peace with people, supposed to love people, supposed to surrender to God and do what God would have us to do. But at the same time, as any common sense person would say, you fight hard with those who fight against you, but you just don't become the aggressor. And then sometimes you can turn the other cheek if it's strategic to do so, you see. So don't think that Muslims want to kill all Christians or kill all Hindus, and because we love people in general. If a Muslim is a true Muslim, he loves all people, he respects creation, and he respects all life. All life is sacred. Even the spider in your house, you know. A lot of times I'll take him and put him in a napkin and take him outside. I just don't want him in my house, you know. So we have to recognize that everything God has created is sacred. So I mentioned to you about the horse. And we have a chapter in the Quran 100 where it says, I swear, that is God swears by the horse that he's created with the panting breath, that you all, that is the human beings, should be obedient to God like the horse is to you. This is the message that God is trying to, you know, convey to us. But we know none of us are going to be perfect. None of us are angels. But that is the goal, to be as righteous and honorable as possible in this life. So here is a mountain. And Muhammad, he would visit this particular mountain called Hira. All right? So the Muslims have a book called the Quran. And we believe that this man, Muhammad, he went up into this cave one night, and a message came to his mind and to his heart. And it said, Iqra, that is, proclaim. And he was saying, I cannot proclaim anything. And God told him through the message of Gabriel, the angel, proclaim in the name of your Lord who created you, created the human being out of a tiny clot. And then he told him a second time, proclaim. And your Lord is most bountiful and generous and going to give you everything that you need to proclaim. So why did he need to proclaim something? Because the Arabs were savages. They were wild and crazy people. They used to run around the house that Abraham built naked. They used to have orgies right there in the sacred precinct of the house that Abraham built. So he was very grieved and didn't like the way his people were living, you know. So he would just get a retreat and go to the cave. So we believe that God gave him the message of the Quran over a period of 23 years. He was giving him a message to say to the people. You might say, well, he was talking to them. As Muslims, we don't believe that God has a tongue or a mouth. We don't believe that. We believe God is an unseen being. But we believe that God has a way of impressing your mind and causing you to think things that you may not think ordinarily. So we believe that over a period of 23 years that this message was given to Muhammad as guidance for himself and to his people. And this cave is visited by Muslims all of the time when they go to what we call the pilgrimage. All right? So that's where we believe this message of Quran came from. And the word Islam, as I mentioned to you, means submission to God. So we believe that all of the prophets of God, that is Abraham, Moses, Jesus, all of them were submitters to God. And you know from Bible language, it says, not my will be done, but your will be done. This is Jesus saying this about God. But we know that there's controversy about whether or not Jesus was Son of God or was he God in the flesh. We know that that is, you know, one of the differences that we have. But we don't want that to separate us and we start hating on one another because of having different ideas about God. Yeah.
No, I don't. There we go.
Okay. So this is what I just mentioned to you a few minutes ago. I'm an Arabic teacher and I also speak Arabic some. I'm not fluent. But this is the translation. These are the first five verses we believe Muhammad received in that cave I showed you. Proclaim or read in the name of your Lord. Read in the name and by the power of thy Lord and cherish who created man out of a mere cloud of congealed blood. Proclaim and thy Lord is most bountiful. It is he who taught the use of the pen, taught humanity that which they knew not. So then over again the period of 23 years he received the whole book. And around the world there are Muslims who have memorized this whole book. They have 10 and 12 year old boys and girls who memorized the whole book and they recite it verbatim. And it's about the size of the New Testament. Okay? Okay. So this book, as I mentioned, was revealed over a period of 23 years. And it initially came 610 A.D. So that means 610 years after Jesus making his transition. Okay? And Muhammad lived to 632 A.D. He was 63, some say 62 years old when he left this world. So Muhammad, who is Muhammad? Muhammad was an African Arab. I like to tell African Americans that in particular, you know, because sometimes they like to say, oh, you Arabs down the street, and they have no regard for the Arabs. They call them, what, camel jockeys and things like that, right? But we believe from the historical record that Muhammad was an African Arab. Why? Because Abraham was the husband or concubine wife to, he had a concubine by the name of Hagar. And you see it in the Bible. Hagar was an Egyptian. So Abraham and Hagar had a son by the name of Ishmael, and they also had Isaac, Ishaq in Arabic. And so Muhammad comes from the ancestral line of Abraham, Hagar, and Ishmael. So that's why we can say that he has African blood in him. So you might say, where did Abraham come from? Abraham came from the land of Chaldea, and Chaldea is in Iraq. So that's why we call him an African Arab. Okay? But I'm not a racist, and if he was Caucasian or Chinese or whatever, and the message that he brought is so stimulating to my mind that I would gladly accept it no matter what nationality the man was. Okay? So grammatically, you can raise it up a little bit, Muhammad is a passive participle. What is a passive participle, you know? I learned more English when I learned Arabic. A passive participle is that thing that an action comes upon. So this action of high accolades and high commendation of Muhammad came upon him. Why did it come upon him? Because he was an honorable, noble man. He was called El Amin, the trustworthy one, the honorable one. When people would leave and go out of town, where's Muhammad? We want to have all our goods insured while we're gone with him. So he was a man that they trusted highly. And so because of the way he lived, people began to emulate him and listen to him, and he became the leader of the Arabian Peninsula. During his lifetime, he was the ruler of Medina, which is a city 250 miles from where he was born, in Mecca. And when he came with this message, he was persecuted. They ran him out of his hometown. But he came back 10 years later, and they accepted him as the leader of his hometown, too. So he had a very successful life in terms of getting victories over his enemies. But he didn't have a vengeance against his enemies after they had persecuted him. Okay. So let's just talk briefly. I know I don't have a lot of time. The five principles of Islam. We have five principles in our religion. One is the belief in the oneness of God. It's called Tawheed in the Arabic language. Tawheed. Then we have prayer at least five times a day. It's called Salah in Arabic. Five times a day. When we rise up in the morning, at noontime, afternoon time, when the sun sets, and about 2 hours after the sun sets, Muslims are supposed to pray. We miss prayers sometimes. We shouldn't, but we try to endeavor to make all of our prayers every day. And so you say, what value is this prayer? To be conscious of God, for one. And I was so happy to see that we had the Pledge of Allegiance. I know they had stopped it for a while in some schools, I thought. Yeah, so I was very happy to see that. So when the Muslim pray, we put our foreheads to the ground. So scientifically speaking, we have found that when you do that, all of the blood goes into this frontal area here, where the conscious brain activity is. And so within the brain, you got electrostatic energy, sparks all in your brain. Like if you had a dark room and you had a sweater on and you pulled it off, you saw all those sparks. That stuff is inside of the brain. So when the Muslim prays, all of the blood comes and fills that area. And when he comes out of prayer, he's relaxed. He feels more conscious and more alert because all of that electrostatic energy that was in there is removed. So if you're thinking about someone, you say, what is that brother's name? You have a tendency to put your hand right here, right? So your hand lets you know that the conscious brain activity that you have is right up in here. That's where it is. You might put your hand on your head sometime, but a lot of times you kind of feel that it's something is going to come to your conscious. It's going to come from right here. So that's a value that the Muslims have in praying, too. It gives us relaxation. It relaxes us and restores us during the day. And that's a picture of Malcolm X in Mecca. He came to come to the true Islam when he went to Mecca. Okay. So then the third pillar that we have is called zakah, which means any good or kind action that you do. If I say to you, assalamu alaikum, and I speak to you, to me and to the Muslims, that's zakah, that's charity, that's a good deed. It's a good deed to take a twig out of the road so that other people won't get hurt, you see. And also, zakah has something to do with giving money, giving to help the poor and help the sick, and also to help maintain the governmental operation. And we pay taxes for that reason, right, for the roads to be clean and so on. So then we have the fourth pillar, which is the fast during the month of Ramadan. Well, we don't eat during the day, but when the sunset comes, we eat. And a lot of times we pig out at sunset, and we try to restrain ourselves from pigging out at sunset. And we've been doing this, myself, since 1973. I love it. It helps us to give self-control and discipline. That's why we do it. Help us to be conscious of the poor, feeling the hunger pains like a poor person or a hungry person would. It helps us connect with the unfortunate. And also, again, gives us discipline. So we fast for 30 days. No food during the day, no water, anything. People say, how can you do it? The will of the mind is stronger than the will that the body beckons it to. We believe that. Okay. All right.
Yeah, 5 minutes.
5 minutes, okay. Well, I might as well try to get the last pillar and go for questions.
I
got you. Okay, so that's just a picture of the people pigging out. Okay, so the last pillar of our religion is pilgrimage to the Kaaba, that house that I mentioned to you that Abraham built. And we do that once in a lifetime if we can afford it. So I'll stop right there, and I hope that you might have some questions or comments. Yes?
So, Muslims,
like,
if somebody is trying to make them Muslims, will
like,
defend
theirself
and not kill anybody?
Well, we try to avoid harm in any life. Yes, we try to avoid that. Right. Absolutely.
I had a question.
Yes.
You said that you guys will pray 5 times every day?
Yes.
Like, how long does it take?
About 3-4 minutes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stand like this, then we do like this, and then we put our foreheads to the floor. And then we have certain prayers that we say. Yes. Mm-hmm. Pardon me?
Do you teach students
Arabic?
Arabic.
I do. I'll teach anyone 5, 6 years old, all the way up to 80 or 90. I've done it over the years. I've been to about 50 cities teaching Arabic over the years. I learned Arabic, some of it, at Wayne County Community College. I had 3 college courses, and from that point I studied on my own, and I wrote a book on Arabic also. It's a wonderful, beautiful, easy language to learn. Mm-hmm. Any more questions or comments? Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. I said a lot in a short period of time. I'd love to hear from you. Yes?
I was just thinking like this. I was thinking this a long time ago, but I didn't know the answer. So some people like to stereotype Muslims. Why would that be like this? Why would people want to stereotype them?
Well, a lot of it has to do with economics. And when I say that, Muslims discourage the drinking of alcohol, the paying of interest rates, like when you buy a house, it may cost $100,000, but by the time you finish paying for it, it's $300,000. So the religion of Islam is against those kind of things. So those who make money, it's to their advantage to say, no, we don't want Muslims in the country because they're going to change our what we can do and what we can't do, you see. So it's a lot of things that we are against that people are, you know, trying to continue in the world. Yes?
So Muslims, like, only allowed to eat during dinner, like, when the sun sets. What happens if they, like, don't eat on the eat during the day, like, when they eat? Like, pretend like they're eating in the morning. So what would, like, happen? Like, would their parents get mad at that Muslim?
Well, it's a personal decision to do it, you know. And a parent shouldn't force a child to do it. A child should want to do it, you know, willingly. And usually, like my children didn't start doing it until they were 12 years old. But I told them, if you can do it, do it. If you can't, maybe next year you'll be able to do it. But just for 1 month, for 30 days. Mm-hmm. Yes? Well, God commands us to do so. But if you don't do it, you should feed 60 people during the month. That's what the Quran says. So it's like you do it for the love of God, and you keep it as a personal thing. You know, if I saw a Muslim drinking some water during Ramadan, I'm not going to say, oh, he's drinking water. I just say, hey, that's him. He decided to do that. Yes?
So is it like once a month? 1 year?
Every year,
okay.
The 9th month of the lunar calendar. So it's coming up around May 26th this year. From May 26th to around June 26th. Yes.
Okay, so like when you guys pray, is there a certain thing,
like
you pray about different things, but like you pray about the same things every day?
Yeah, we have a chapter 1 of the Quran that we pray. Yeah, just one chapter and we pray.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm finished. Yeah. Thank you all. Thank you all.
I want to bring to our attention achievement, publication that has been produced. And it's produced for our community, mainly for our community, but it'll serve anybody who wants some help from the material that are put into this publication. And the book is called The Language of Revelation, Lugatul Tanzil, the Language of Translation. And it is by a brother that I have known to be dedicated and devoted to the study of Quranic Arabic and the teaching of that subject to our students and to grown-ups as well. And that is Brother Sadiq Jahad. I think most of us know of him. Brother Sadiq Jahad, will you please stand and face the audience? So this is Brother Sadiq Jahad. So I highly recommend this book for you all who are studying, grown-ups, but also for our youngsters who are studying in the separate organized Quranic studies classes, and who are also studying in the school system, our school system, Prayer Muhammad school system, Prayer Muhammad schools, and like the one in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., Chicago, and many places. I highly recommend this book, The Language of Revelation. It's Quranic, Arabic, with lessons, studies to improve your ability to read the Quran and get more understanding and to qualify yourself, inshallah, to be a teacher one day. Because out of you, from you who are interested in Quranic Arabic, we are going to get our next generation of teachers and imams and leaders, you know. So Allah be with you all and bless you to benefit from these wonderful projects and publications that our community is producing. This is one. We have others. We have others that I have seen, and I'm grateful to Allah for students and scholars like our brother Sadiq Jihad. Congratulations, my brother.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This is Imam Sadiq Jihad. You can secure the book by going to our website, www.sadiqjihad.com. That's SIDDEQ, Jihad, JIHAD.com. Or you can send a postal money order or any type of money order to Post Office Box 401165, Redford, R-E-D-F-O-R-D, Michigan, 48240. My email address is Sadiq, that's SIDDEQ, at msn.com. And the phone number where we can be reached is 313-532-5246. I thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.